Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So Sri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3, Enumeration of Lila Avatars and Vibhutis. Okay, Sarva Samvadini. Satvatam Tantram means Vaishnav Pancharatra. By following those scriptures, the actions are perceived to be different from karma, Naishkarmyam, since one becomes free from bondage. Right. So, the Pancharatra, it's engaging the activities of the Lord. Karma means activity. Right? Now, fruit of activity means I'm doing that karma for myself to get the benefit. Bhakti means I'm doing that karma for Krishna. Right? So, in general, in philosophical context, when we're talking about karma, then we mean, you know, you may be referring to the karmis, but right means those who are dedicated to karma for fruit, that means they're fruitive. But the word karma is not a problem. It just means action, that's all. You know, just like in the Gita, karma yoga means an action, and it means in Krishna consciousness, you're applying it to Krishna. So that's what Narad Muni then is teaching, is how the living entities, because he's a preacher, then how everybody can engage their activities, body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. Right. Next, the appearance of Narayan Rishi is detailed. Anucheda 9. Fourth, appearing in the wife of Dharma, he became Narayana and performed severe austerities, which gave peace to the soul. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.9. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. As King Rishabha advised his sons, tapasya, or voluntary acceptance of penance for realization of transcendence, is the only duty of the human being. It was so done by the Lord himself in an exemplary manner to teach us. The Lord is very kind to the forgetful souls. He therefore comes himself and leaves behind necessary instructions and also sends his good sons as representatives to call all the conditioned souls back to Godhead. Recently, within the memory of everyone, Lord Chaitanya also appeared for the same purpose, to show special favor to fallen souls in this age of iron industry. The incarnation of Narayana is worshipped still at Badri Narayana on the range of the Himalayas, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.9 purport, Udriti. The significance of this incarnation is described in the second canto. To exhibit his personal way of austerity and penance, he appeared in twin forms as Narayana and Nara in the womb of Murti, the wife of Dharma, and the daughter of Daksha. Celestial beauties, the companions of Cupid, went to try to break his vows, but they were unsuccessful, for they saw that many beauties like them were emanating from him, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.6. Srila Prabhupada. Studying the whole scheme of disassociation with women, it appears that a woman is a stumbling block for self-realization. And the Lord appeared as Narayana to teach the principle of womanly disassociation with a vow in life. The demigods, being envious of the austere life of the rigid brahmacharis, would try to cause them to break their vows by dispatching soldiers of Cupid. But in the case of the Lord, it became an unsuccessful attempt, When the celestial beauty saw that the Lord can produce innumerable such beauties by his mystic internal potency, and that there was consequently no need to be attracted by others externally. There is a common proverb that a confectioner is never attracted by sweetmeats. The confectioner who is always manufacturing sweetmeats has little desire to eat them. Similarly, the Lord, by his pleasure potency, can produce innumerable spiritual beauties and not be the least attracted by the false beauties of material creation. Then Jiva Goswami says, the meaning is clear. So the feminine nature being the stumbling block, because, and why is it a stumbling block? Because we'll say, oh, it's the women that are the problem. No, it's the man desiring to enjoy the women, and the women desiring to be enjoyed by men, because both are in the enjoying spirit, right? So the man is in the mood of Purusha that he'll enjoy woman, and the woman's in the mood of Purusha that she'll be enjoyed by man. Right, so in this way, it's a stumbling block. So it's that principle that's the stumbling block. But now, if husband and wife are engaged in Krishna consciousness, then it's not functioning in that capacity. Right? Yes?
I don't remember where it's coming from, but there was a discussion on sense gratification, and the point came up that enjoyment as such for a living entity, it's an illusion, but the desire to enjoy, it's real. So the desire is real, but the material enjoyment is an illusion. It doesn't exist.
Yes. I mean, material enjoyment, but spiritual enjoyment does exist.
Yeah.
Because the soul is ananda, so therefore being part and parcel of Krishna, there, when his ananda is in line with Krishna, in other words, when the living entity is trying to please Krishna, then the living entity is happy. So ananda is inherent in the living entity. That's why in the material world there's no ananda. There's happiness and distress. So, because you don't get ananda here, then there is the living entity is being inherent in the jiva. So then they compromise with happiness and distress. So just if you get rid of the distress, we'll call that happy. Even though it's not. It just comes to a neutral stage. It's not positive. So ananda is neutral. So in the material world, no, there is no actual happiness. Whatever, because you can say, no, but I'm doing this, I'm happy. But someone else in the same situation would say it's miserable, right? You know, so what's it? Think, one man's food is another man's poison. You know, so you have that principle. It's that whatever situation, you ever heard that?
No, Russians say whatever is good for Russian, best for the German.
Okay, same principle.
Just more concrete.
yes, a little
more. Personal.
Yes.
What about vodka though, but...
Yeah. But probably if you go back, let's say 100 years, it would have been, what does he say, food?
No, just in general.
Poison.
No, but I'm saying, but what was it for a Russian?
Anything.
Whatever is natural for the Russian is poison.
Oh, whatever, but probably if you go back 100 years, it was whatever is natural for the Russian is death for the French.
Yes. Modified.
Yeah, modified over time.
And then Americans.
Yeah.
New world.
Yes. 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 Yes, so that's the illusion. So that's why no one's satisfied. That's why in the Vedic system, then you have the training, you get training, and then when you're properly trained, then someone can enter household life. Then entering household life, then they have time to try to, you know, expand and develop and like that. And then during that time, if one's intelligent, in other words, if one's been trained nicely, in the actual understanding of the, you know, physical, mental, has a social and spiritual nature, then he'll understand that, well, actually, you can't be happy doing this. Because you spent 20, 30 years in this pursuit, and then you can see is what the scriptures say is correct. Then one then starts to just, you know, vanaprastha means you just maintain. Means what is necessary, you maintain that. What's extra, you get rid of that. And you just maintain. Because you can't be, if you can't be happy here, why work so hard for the extra thing? You just maintain and put your focus on the spiritual life. You know, so you're maintaining what is, you have seen with experience works for you. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, we've tried so many different things to eat, but this particular diet works well. You know, like that. It works okay. Some parts of it are really great, and some parts of it are okay. You know, it's not, you know, lasagna every day or something. But, you know, if you figure out what works. Or, you know, this much rest, or this much, you know, this we wear this, or we're in these situations. And you know that works, and so you don't have to think about it. You just do that. That's vanaprastha. Then you focus on the spiritual. Does that make sense?
Good definition.
Good definition.
Oh,
okay.
We had not to expand. That's the basic definition, and now little extended.
Okay. Yeah. And then why we're bringing this out? Because then sannyas, as we were discussing, indifference means whatever comes along, that's what you're comfortable with. So you're not actually arranging it so much. You know, even if you do make some arrangement, but what actually comes along, you're satisfied with that. Right? Does that make sense? While as vanaprastha, you know what works for you. Because you've been doing for so long, you know that this kind of schedule or diet or that works. So I follow that. Why, you know, there's no need to try something new. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you see so many times, those are a little bit older and they're trying this and that every 2 weeks, new diet. You're supposed to do that when you're 20 and 30 years old. That you try all these things. Now you just, what worked for you all that time? Just do that. Because you know it works. Is that all right?
Yeah.
You know, because point is the focus means brahmacharya means the focus is on spiritual life. You're not even worrying about things because someone else is taking care. They're responsible. Grihastha means now you're responsible and now you do what you think is best and you try to balance that with the spiritual life. Vanaprastha, then you see what works because you have to maintain and things like that. And so then, therefore then, and the also the thing about it is the vanaprastha to some degree is still can, means at their discretion, be connected with the social scene. Not that they're part of the social scene, but they're, how you say? In other words, if they show up, they're just part of the scene. But if they don't show up, it's all right. You know, the grihastha doesn't show up. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you just made enemies for life, you know, like that. So that's the thing, is they can be there enough in which to give some direction, to give some support, to give things like that, to show what is the, you know, because you can say, is yeah, when I was, I did that also, you know, but then, you know, I figured this out. So because you have all that experience, so then that becomes the thing of the vanaprastha, is that they can give that direction. So also, if you want to create community, you know, because there's so much discussion of that, you have to have vanaprasthas. And vanaprasthas that are able to function as vanaprasthas, not quasi-sannyasis or brahmacharis. Means that they're comfortable with the grihastha scene, but from so much experience, they know what works, because they've tried everything. Right? The man has, you know, he's figured out what works and what doesn't, how much to do things, how much not. You know, and then, you know, just in his endeavor, the women have figured out that, you know, you behave like this, it works, you behave like that, it doesn't work. You know, the men figure out you behave like this, it works, you behave like that, it doesn't work. And you just tell. But that's the point, is because vanaprasthas are detached. Then they tell, you follow it, You'll get the benefit. You don't follow it. It doesn't affect me in the least. My life will go on perfectly fine if you don't follow anything I say. But your life, on the other hand, you'll have problems. So it's your choice, your call. That's the thing. Because the grihastha is more about, I'm doing this, I have to get the result, I'm in charge, I'm in control. So all those different things are so important for them. And that's where what was talked before, is that with Raghunath Das, that's where the Gramikata comes from. So with Vanaprastha, it's not Gramikata. It's a matter of, if they do these things, it won't work. If they did that, oh, that's very nice. Or, you know, like that. So they can give some nice direction, and for themselves, they see it in the context of the Shastra, and they're good. And they have the practical understanding. You know, it's just like sometimes I would notice in the, what was it? It would be, when did I see that? I think I saw it twice. Two grihasthas. Young. New grihasthas, just getting married, or just before, just actually, once I was talking before the marriage, just before the marriage, about something. And then, oh no, it's not like that. We're different. It's a, you know, the whole thing like this. 10 years later, then somehow they came up again and says, nope, Bhagavatam's exactly right. I saw it happen twice. That was really, really funny. So that's why Vanaprastha, because they can say, but they're not just saying, because the Brahmacharya sannyasis may not have the experience. If they do, great. But if not, then they're going to say, but it is about the theory of it. But then the Vanaprasthas can tell you exactly, no, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to unfold. This is what's going to be the reaction. So, very necessary in the system. You know, it's very, very important. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I think also it's a good definition of someone who is on the level of nishta, is that they act from their own experience.
Mm.
And those who are below that, they just reflect somebody else's experience.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same message.
Yes.
But it has more potency, it has more value,
because
people live through it.
Yes.
And then when they say, it gives a different effect. Actually.
Yes, it does. Because I remember discussing with one grihastha that had some difficulty. And I was pointing out different things like this. And then, if he's keeping it very general, it was all right. And then it got more specific. You know, when you speak general, just grihasthas, when I spoke specifically for him, he got very annoyed. It's kind of like, well, you're a sannyasa, what do you know? I said, okay, yes, you know, fair enough. 3 months later, sure enough, that was it. Ship sank. How you say it? Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq. So.
It's good he isn't here.
Yeah, he would go, that's not how you say it. He's very intolerant. If you get a little wrong, very intolerant.
All French people.
Oh, it's all?
All?
Oh, okay. All old French. Okay, sarva sambandhini. So, as Jiva Goswami says, the meaning is clear. Like that. Sarva sambandhini. He appeared, Sarge, from Murti, a Shakti of the Lord, among Shaktis like Shraddha and Pushti, as the wife of Dharma, a great devotee of the Lord. Nara and Narayana are counted as one avatar, since they appear together as brothers, one pale and the other dark. Yes, so they're counted as one. They're one avatar. Two people, but one avatar. So therefore you'll say Nara Narayana Rishi, not Rishis. But you'll talk about them as two people. Like the Chatushana, the four Kumaras. But they're one avatar. But you say Kumaras there. But in this one, you don't say that. It's very unique like that. Because they go together. So it's the principle of the Lord and His energies are non-different. Like that. One pale and the other dark. Oh, Yeah, I wonder which one's pale and which is dark.
Nara is pale, Maharaj.
Nara is pale, and Narayana is dark. Okay, because Narayana is taking the form of Narayana, so then he'll be the dark color.
But we say Narayana is Krishna and Arjuna.
Yes, but then we see Krishna. Arjuna is also the same color Arjuna is the same color like Krishna, so he's also known as Krishna, and Draupadi is known as Krishna.
Yudhishthira is pale.
Yes,
Yudhishthira. He's like a Brahmin?
Yes. Yeah, that's there, but also just, you know.
This complexion.
Yeah, they're very fine. They're very sattvic, yeah. Like, Karna wouldn't even fight with him. You know, for. He said, the guy's a Brahmin, he's not a sattvic. He's too good. That's the case of he's too good to fight with, you know. It's like. Dhriti. Next, the appearance of Kapila Muni, the propounder of Shankya philosophy, is described. Anucheta 10. Fifth, he became Kapila, the best of the perfected beings, and spoke to Asuri Brahmana, the philosophy of Shankya, which defines the various principles of existence, which had become lost with time. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.10. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The sum total of creative elements is 24 in all. Each and every one of them is explicitly explained in the system of Shankya philosophy. Shankya philosophy is generally called metaphysics by the European scholars. The etymological meaning of Shankya is that which explains very lucidly by analysis of the material elements, right? Because you're describing the elements lucidly. For the European scholars, it's elusive, but for the Shankya. So, lucidly. And so, when you're describing how they work, what's the inherent nature in them, then in the European understanding or viewpoint, that will be metaphysics, what's beyond the physics. So that's the difficulty, is they don't necessarily look at the metaphysics so carefully. They look at more, though they talk about it, but somehow or another it's not important to them. This was done for the first time by Lord Kapila, who is said herein to be the fifth in the line of incarnations. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.10, purport. Kapila spoke to the Brahmana named Asuri, Udriti. The demigod Aryama and other residents of Hiranyamaya Varsha praised Lord Kapila, which is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. O my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation as the learned scholar Kapiladeva, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Shankya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.33. So, they look at the material elements, they analyze them, but they don't actually look where they come from and who's the person that they come from. So that's the difficulty that comes up. And then because they don't see it in that context, then there'll always be speculation on how many elements there are. So that's why we use Kapila's given as 24. Lord Chaitanya's accepted this, we use the 24. Otherwise, some say less, some say more. There's all these differences. It means in the context of the 24, you can see all the other listings. And they make sense. But they make sense by looking at the 24. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I was thinking that why it is so difficult for Westerners to understand that level of metaphysics, because Shankya is tightly connected with Sadkaryavat. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, without causation,
yes,
you can't really explain Nimittai Upadana. I mean, mm-hmm, they don't even know that. They think it's one entity, Nimittai Upadana. They don't differentiate it that much.
Mm-hmm.
And time.
Right.
So those three, then you can understand the elements. Otherwise, on their own, some understanding is there, but it's incomplete. You know, it's always, you have to, mm-hmm,
You have to juggle it a bit.
So yeah, so. Yeah, just to hold it together.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't hold on itself.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. Yeah, because then, because it's the only, from there, I'm not sure above that, anybody else above accepts the Satkaryavad? Means because Gotama and Vaisheshika don't. And so the modern science is based more on these two. Mm-hmm. Means the atomic theory that they use their so-called logic on. But yoga and...
Yeah, also yoga and...
Karma Mimamsa?
Mimamsa also, they don't...
They don't.
Specifically...
Means they're not against it, but they just don't use it. It's not interesting. And then Vedanta uses it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so then you won't be able to be understood. No, that's a very, very interesting thing. So you can't actually understand how the world works like that. For the mind body, it's illusion. For the other ones, it's just...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, for them it doesn't matter. No, very good point. Sarva Samvadati. Kapila, the Supreme Lord, spoke real Shankya, filled with the meaning of the Vedas, to Brahma, the Devatas, and Bhrigu, and to Asuri. Another Kapila spoke Shankya full of bad philosophy and contrary to all the Vedas to another person called Asuri. Like that. So then it seems to be that both these situations are there. So that's why you see is that Srila Prabhupada will also always mention Kapila, the son of Devahuti, just to make sure that it's not this other bad philosophy. Bad philosophy. Bad philosophy. Yeah. So that's the filled with the meaning of the Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya said the meaning of the Vedas is that we're, you know, servant of the Lord, and it's sambandha abhide prayojana. That's what the Vedas is talking about. So then that's why then the Shankya philosophy of Kapila, then it matches very well with pure devotional service. So it's had the same conclusion, it's just showing the metaphysics on how things work. And then when you're working with the aspects of the realizations of Krishna as Brahman and Paramatman, how he's everything and how he's the controller of everything, then these elements come into play nicely. You can use them into your own life on how you engage your mind and senses and whatever is around you in the Lord's service. So, you know, it means then the point is that I have a table in my house, but the principle of table is already there in the metaphysics. Otherwise, how is there a table? It means you can't do something that's not already within the laws of nature because of Satkaryavad. If it's not already inherent in material energy, you can't manufacture, you can't produce it. But the point is, since it's energy, the energetic, that means the concept of table is already there in the energetic. And so therefore, then, if it's there in the energetic, that means what's the relationship of a table with Krishna? So therefore, then, how do I use this table in relation to pleasing Krishna? So that it becomes very useful when you're dealing with a broad range of things rather than just your chanting or worshipping the deity. Because those things, it's more obvious because they are direct activities. But anything that is not so obvious, then this Satkaryavad with the Shankya works very well. So, yeah. Anucheda 11. Being requested by Anasuya, the wife of Atri, the Lord became her son as Dattatreya and taught knowledge of the soul to Alarka, Prahlad, and others, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.11. Atri prayed to have a son similar to the Lord. This is the meaning of the statement. Oh, this is the meaning of the statement that Anasuya requested the Lord. Because of her direct prayer, the Lord himself agreed to become her son. It is said in Brahmanda Purana in the story of chaste women. Offering respects, Anasuya spoke to Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. If you are pleased with me, and I am worthy of a blessing, be merciful and appear before me as my son. Anvikshikim means Atma Vidya, knowledge of the soul. Dattatreya is an avatar of Vishnu. Because also, in general, when you take logic, knowledge of the soul, when you take logic and philosophy and you present them together, means that you present the philosophy in such a way that logically you're able to appreciate it. You know, if you have the intelligence and the karma. I mean, the bhakti for that, the devotion. That's called andikshiki, so that's atma vidya. So it means that analytical kind of presentation. So that's another aspect of knowledge of the soul. Is it's one of the four aspects of human life that are secondary, but need to be cultivated. You know, considering the body, considering the mind, considering the social considerations, and considering spirit. So those four aspects need to be part of the human. It's part of human culture. So that's why then Varnashram addresses those things very properly. You know, it's the format in which all those things can come together and function in one place at one time. You know, then we see is bhakti is the primary. That's what's beyond that. Because you know the soul. You know I'm the body, this not the body, I'm the soul and this and that. But unless you know actually the soul is servant of God. God is there, he's eternal, he has his eternal form, his sarup is the source of everything. Then you don't actually know transcendence. So, yeah, that's it.
I was not sure the trail in which category it is.
Oh, in which category is
Prabhav,
it?
Prabhav, the second type.
Prabhav. Oh, that would be an interesting thing you should mention here. Is that, you know, Vritti, you know, describing this, he's in this category, or in the next appearance of Brahma who ruled the heavenly planets, and then say in there which category he's in. Do that in each one, that's very nice. He was, what did you say, Prabhav?
Prabhav, the second category, they were the first Mohini, Harsa.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes, Dr. Chayyad, yes, he was the one because he's more prominent like that.
More prominent than the sages usually.
Yeah, the sages. Yeah, the sages. Okay. So that means they're Vishnu Tattva then?
I was curious about.
Yes, no? Very good, okay.
So they're Vishnu
Tattva,
because they're very...
He's Vishnu Tattva, but he has those flavors of Brahma and Shiva, because Brahma and Shiva are just aspects of, because in Karana Dakshay Vishnu, then his right side is Shiva, his left side is Brahma.
Because it says here that there is an avatar of Vishnu.
Mm, okay.
Here.
Okay.
After Anubhupsiki.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, it says right there.
Because I thought it's also Avesha.
Yeah, I always thought before also. But here it says, yes, Avatar Vishnu. But because it was the thing of, because she prayed to all three of them without being specific, then the Lord came, but he has those flavors of the other two. So he's not just having that mood just of Vishnu. He's also having that of Brahma and Shiva, yes.
She begets three sons, Maharaj.
Three?
Dhruvasa, Dattatreya, and Soma.
So then I'm thinking of someone else who did that, who we came together. Because this is where she's praying. But I think maybe, I don't know, who's her?
Atri also?
I think that's the same story.
It's the same story.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, because he just wasn't specific, all three of them appeared. Okay, okay. So then Dattatreya is Vishnu, and then the other two?
Durvasa is Lord Shiva, and Soma is Brahma.
Soma meaning the moon.
They are Prajapatis. They are Prajapatis?
Yeah, they're Prajapatis.
It's the seven sages, one of the seven sages. No.
Might be, but I mean, that because the seven sages, that's a post,
yeah.
And they rotate. So at one point, you know.
Everyone
wants to. Yeah, it means that then who's doing what, and you know.
Yeah, I was thinking there are Prajapatis, because remember we read somewhere that only them could beget somebody who's not human, not their race, somebody else.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, after that, then everybody, they stick to themselves. So. You know, which is first, the chicken or the egg, and it'll be, no, the Prajapatis. After that, then... So there's Prajapati, chicken, then egg, then chicken, egg, chicken.
It's a nice answer.
Hmm?
Nice answer.
Yeah, it works. Anucheda 12. Seventh. Yagya appeared as the son of Ruchi in the womb of his wife Akuti. He protected the reign of Swayambhuva Manu with the devatas called Yamas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.12, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The administrative posts occupied by the demigods for maintaining the regulations of the material world are offered to the highly elevated pious living beings. When there is a scarcity of such pious living beings, the Lord incarnates himself as Brahma, Prajapati, Indra, etc., and takes up the charge. During the period of Swayambhuva Manu, the present period is of Vaibhasvata Manu, there was no suitable living entity who could occupy the post of Indra, the king of the Indraloka, heaven planet. The Lord himself at that time became Indra, assisted by his own sons like Yama and other demigods. Lord Yagya ruled the administration of the universal affairs. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.12 purport.
It's during this Swayambhuva Manu, there is lots of things that don't really happen after that, like devastation.
Because being the first one, the people are the most qualified in that Swayambhuva. But I think this is also, it might even be in the first, it might be in the, I'm not sure, but in the very beginning, like you see, is that you have that. There's two different stories of it. It means two different occasions of it. So it would be the same period of time in two different occasions. That there's some time, I think, when Satyayuga starts, where there's no need of marriage. Because if a man and woman get together, they're just committed for life, and they just carry on that way. So there's no, it's just like for the Uttamadikari, there's no need of diksha. You know, the Pancharatric Diksha, just by hearing instruction, they'll accept that person as their guru, and it's like that eternally. Right? But when you don't have that qualification, then you require the Pancharatric Diksha if you're conditioned. So if someone's not conditioned. So in the same way, it would be that there's an age where it's just the qualities are so purified that they don't think of anything outside of that. It's not their nature. So therefore, man and woman would be together. And so therefore, then you didn't have to go through the marriage, the whole marriage ceremony and all that. It's just that they agreed it worked. And so that worked until the time when, I can't remember who it was, the sons were sitting there and the mother was sitting there and some Brahmin who wasn't their father came along and saw her and says, "Hey, come with me, let's go." And she got up to leave with him. And the son said, "What? You know, you can't do that." You know, so then he cursed that women now, it has to be married, you can only stay with one husband and things like that. Because before that, it just was natural that's the way it worked. So you're going to have a time in history when people are so purified that certain things happen that don't happen in other times. And that just like in Satyayuga, then everybody is Hamsa. So they don't require the whole Varnashram thing to make it work. The prominence is in the spiritual life, and so therefore just the brahminical activities themselves are enough to carry on. But in Treta Yuga, then you require the full Varnashram system. So then the kings come up, they become more prominent and everything. Like you see in the Satya Yuga, you're only talking about Brahmins. But when you get it from Treta, then you see more the line of the kings. Kings are already there. I mean, Kshatriyas are there, but everybody will be acting as. Does that make some sense? You know, it's just like now, those two kings, I don't know where they are, they're in some village in India, but they're just, you know, acting, who knows how, as sages or just locals or something like that, until the end of Kali Yuga. And then they'll start the Sun and Moon dynasty again.
I got the feeling that it's just, there was no suitable living being to occupy the post of Indra.
Oh, that happens now and again anyway. That's just like, but I was meaning is that you sometimes have these things I thought you were talking about before, how he got cursed and things like that. So these things are there, because there's always, you have the major thing, but there's always some little something that doesn't quite match. Because if you're looking at mathematical calculations of combinations of the modes, you're going to have your major ones, but then you're always going to have a few that are very unique. So they'll come up now and again. They won't be regular. And the major ones, those will be the ones that go regular time. So you're going to have that. So, yeah. He, Yajna, became Indra, protecting Swayambhuva. That's what says Brahma. Sometimes Brahma, Krishna, has to take the post of Brahma because there's no one qualified. Because the demigods can only be, that position can only be fulfilled by devotees. Those who have faith in the Lord, only they can do, and they manage the universe. The asuras, they can't do that, because asura means that it's about themselves, so they always are making trouble. But the demigods, then they can manage it. Sarvasam Vadani. Yajna was called Hari by Swayambhuva. So that's why sometimes you see him called as Hari. I think in the previous, in that list,
was Hari.
Yeah, it didn't have Yajna. So that's what I was wondering, is what happened to Yajna, but that's because he's Hari.
Yes, Hari.
Yeah, so then that's Yajna. Vriti, the appearance of Lord Rishabhdev, who instructed the path of perfection by tapasya, is described in the next Anucheda, Anucheda 13. 8. The Lord was born to Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi as Rishabha. He shows the path of the wise, worshipped by all ashrams. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.13. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The society of human beings. Human beings? No S? Is naturally divided into 8 by orders and statuses of life. The 4 divisions of occupation, the 4 divisions of cultural advancement. That's a nice one. 4 divisions of occupation, 4 divisions of cultural advancement. Because you also say the occupation is the social and the cultural, then that's the spiritual. The intelligent class, the administrative class, the productive class, and the labor class are the 4 divisions of occupation. And the student life, the householder's life, retired life, and renounced life are the 4 statuses of cultural advancement towards the path of spiritual realization. Out of these, the renounced order of life, or the order of sannyas, is considered the highest of all. And a sannyasi is constitutionally the spiritual master for all the orders and divisions. In the sannyas order also there are 4 stages of upliftment towards perfection. These stages are called Gutichaka, Bahudaka, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. The Paramahamsa stage of life is the highest stage of perfection. This order of life is respected by all others. Maharaj Rishabha, the son of King Nabhi and Meru Devi, was an incarnation of the Lord, and he instructed his sons to follow the path of perfection by tapasya, which sanctifies one's existence and enables one to attain the stage of spiritual happiness, which is eternal and ever-increasing. Every living being is searching after happiness, but no one knows where eternal and unlimited happiness is obtained. Foolish men seek after material sense pleasure as a substitute for real happiness. But such foolish men forget the temporary so-called happiness derived from sense pleasures was also enjoyed by the dogs and hogs. No animal, bird, or beast is bereft of this sense pleasure. In every species of life, including the human form of life, such happiness is immensely obtainable. The human form of life, however, is not meant for such cheap happiness. The human life is meant for attaining eternal and unlimited happiness by spiritual realization. This spiritual realization is obtained by tapasya, or undergoing voluntarily the path of penance and abstinence from material pleasure. Those who have been trained for abstinence and material pleasure are called dhira, or men undisturbed by the senses. Only these dhiras can accept the orders of sannyas, and they can gradually rise to the status of the Paramahamsa, which is adored by all members of society. King Rishabha propagated this mission, and at the last stage he became completely aloof from the material bodily needs, which is a rare stage not to be imitated by foolish men, but to be worshipped by all. 1.3.13 purport. That's where you get the Jain religion comes up, is somebody seeing the tapasya of King Rishabha. And then he copied that and made it into a and religion. Rudrama, Rishabha, was born.
No, no, Vamana is different. Trivikram is
one. He's also known as Urukrama. He also, maybe also just how it's, there must be some pastime or something with Rishabha that he's known as Urukrama.
And here it says that he is Avesha avatar.
Rishabha is an Avesha avatar.
Basically,
okay.
Sometimes it's Avesh, sometimes it's
Prabhu.
Okay,
so this specific one is here is Avesha, but there's also times when he's, so in Bhagavatam that may be that he's there is what do you call it? Yes, but it's just a matter of what, because I think Prithu is Avesha. Yeah. So the point is the same points can be made. So he may come himself, he may someone else. The point is, that avatar is there to teach these things. So if someone's there to do, then they'll do, and if not, they won't do. So even like, if there's a jiva qualified to be Shiva, then sometimes then they'll take that post. Like that. But that's within the material world. Like in Sadashiva, Sadashiva. But it's a very rare thing. The Brahmas, you know, all jivas were Brahma at one point. Like that. Priti. The next Anucheda describes the appearance of the Lord as King Prithu, who is considered the most desirable of the avatars because of milking various treasures from the earth. He is an Avesha avatar, empowered with power to rule the universe. Empowered with power. You just say empowered to rule the universe. Or empowered with the power to rule the universe. Unless, of course, he's saying, pronouncing it, Pawa. Then you can leave it the way it is. Anucheda 14. 9. Requested by the sages, the Lord took the form of King Prithu. Because he milked herbs from the earth, he is considered the most desirable of the avatars. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.14, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Before the advent of King Prithu, there was great havoc of maladministration due to the vicious life of the previous king, the father of Maharaj Prithu. The intelligent class of men, namely the sages and the Brahmins, not only prayed for the Lord to come down, but also dethroned the previous king. It is the duty of the king to be pious and thus look after the all-around welfare of the citizens. Whenever there is some negligence on the part of the king in discharging his duty, the intelligent class of men must dethrone him. The intelligent class of men, however, do not occupy the royal throne because they have much more important duties for the welfare of the public. See, that's the difference in the modern. Like, oh, see, yeah, we're supposed to do it. But then you're not supposed to occupy. Point is, if your position is such that you feel you're in an authoritative position to say that this is wrong and all that, then that's more important than doing, you know, being in the post. So that means if you're working to remove, then you shouldn't be involved. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so technically in that way, then Lenin shouldn't have been involved. You know, but that's the thing. He took up, but then he becomes just, or then what's the point of his having that position of having, you know, supposed to be intelligent and all that. So then that's the difficulty. And then what was their arrangement? You know, our man from Georgia.
Bad choice.
You know, back here says, I was back here. Bad philosophy. Bad. Okay. Yes. So that's there, but it's not that's their only business. Their business is to teach and do things right and all that. But if somehow or another, again, it happens now and again, you get a bad administrator like that. You know, it's very rare, but it happens now and again. And so then it's supposed to be that they're removed and someone proper is put there. Because the point is the people are protected by the administration. And if they're not being protected, then what's the point of the administrator? Instead of occupying the royal throne, they prayed for the incarnation of the Lord, and the Lord came as Maharaj Pitu. Real intelligent men or qualified Brahmas never aspire for political posts. Maharaj Pitu excavated many produces from the earth, and thus not only did the citizens become happy to have such a good king, but the complete sight of the earth also became beautiful and attractive. 1.3.14 purport. He's also the one that leveled the earth?
Yeah.
Like that, because he sees on both, basically along the Ganga, from here all the way up, it's just level. And then if you go more north, then you have the Himalayas, and you go south, you have the Vindhyas. But in between, it's been very nicely leveled.
No, it was uneven.
It was uneven. It would be like somehow it seems just went down to and stopped at Bihar like that, maybe, or just, you know, they got grumpy. So where will how can we be dacoits if there's no hills? You know, okay. Went on and then leveled Bengal.
Only Bengal is actually completely leveled.
But you see UP a lot. UP is very level. Like that, and up to there, and then it starts going north. But that's with UP and Bengal, like that. But otherwise, it'd be rolling. It's like in Europe. Some places you have is completely flat, but most of them are kind of rolling hills. But the problem is that it's difficult to water. You know, so if it rains, then it'll work. But then the problem is also the water will slowly drain from the top down, and so it's not ideal. But if it's flat, then it'll stay, it will go, you can water it.
Groundwater levels are there.
Yeah, also the ground, you're closer to the, like some places, like if you have a valley, that means all the water from around comes down into it, so then the valley is good because of that.
So that's why the density of population is very high in this region.
In this, actually. Yeah, Bengal and UP are the highest density in India. Possibly in the world, but the
UP is 23 million something. 230 million.
230 million. 23. That's almost as much as Russia.
No, Russia is much less. 140 million.
Why do I always think it's 250?
No. Moscow.
Yeah.
No. It must be.
No, before the Second World War, they still didn't recover.
Recalculate.
It means it used to be 250?
It was much more, not sure how much. But
in India.
But after the Second World War, they didn't, because so many people were killed.
But some say it's after Stalin.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
The same job.
Yeah, there were partners with that.
What the Germans couldn't do, then he carried on.
Yeah. He just completed the job.
He completed the job. Yeah.
And the official version is after the Second World War, but Stalin killed, some say, even more than during the war.
Yeah.
So it was 100 million.
100 million. Oh, between the war and Stalin.
More than that.
Oh, okay. So then that's what it is. Because somehow there was that number stuck in my head. Yeah. Really? So UP, there's more people than in Russia. And also India, I mean, Bengal is like 100 million or something. Yeah, that's just the west. If you count the east also, then it's...
Yeah, East Bengal is even more.
Yeah, if you count the east and west, it'd be bigger than UP. In a much smaller place. Yeah, you can see from one side to the other, right?
8 million.
Is it
the most dense populated area in Europe? Which is not Europe, but still.
Okay. And the countries around, how much do they have? Like Jordan?
Jordan is very, very, like 1.5 million.
So how many countries around would you have to combine to get the equivalent of what's in Israel?
Yeah, everybody else is. Syria is not that much. Lebanon is not that much.
Left already Syria.
Yeah. Right. But others, they have many.
Saudi has, no?
Yeah.
That's quite big also.
Yeah, well, the territory is very big comparing to everybody else.
More sand.
More stuff.
Partivam means Prithu, who had the body of a king. Usattama means most attractive. Next, the appearance of the Lord in the form of Matsya, fish, is described. Anucheta 15. When there was an inundation after the period of Chakshusha Manu, the Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected Vaivasvata Manu, placing him on a boat formed from the earth. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.15. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, there is not always a devastation after the change of Abhimanyu. And yet this inundation after the period of Chakshusha took place in order to show some wonders to Satyavrata. But Sri Jiva Goswami has given definite proofs from authoritative scriptures like Vishnu Dharmottara, Markandeya Purana, Harivamsa, etc., that there is always a devastation after the end of each and every manu. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur has also supported Srila Jiva Goswami, and he, Sri Chakrabarti, has also quoted from Bhagavatamrita about this inundation after each manu. Apart from this, the Lord, in order to show special favor to Satyavrata, a devotee of the Lord, in this particular period, incarnated himself, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.15, purport. So that there's a devastation at each time, that's happening, but then the special favor to Satyavrata was that then the Lord came as Matsya and then performed his pastime.
These are partial devastations. So
yeah, they're partial.
That's why this kind of apparent contradiction sometimes. Some say that it may not, the devastation may not be there, but if it's partial, some may not consider it full devastation, so it's not.
Yeah, that's it. So just how you want to put it. But I think it's, from what I understand, it's up to... Yeah, up to Swarga. I've heard that after the Kali Yuga, it can be up to Earth. But that seems to be also not regular. That one's the one I think that's not regular. Then after Manvantara, then it'll be up to heaven planets, because all the demigods change. And only at the end of, and at the end of Brahma's day, then it'll be up to
Maha.
Yeah, like that.
That's what we have done with Amrita.
Yes. Yes, yes. Like that. But it appears that in now and again you have some special situations and things like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. During Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a flood of water. Another version has Chakshush Antara Samplave. The earth acted as a boat. Navi Mahi Mayam. Matsya protected Upad, the person who would be Vaivasvata Manu. Sridhar Swami says, though there was not a flood at the end of this Manvantara, an illusory flood was shown to Satyavrata for fun. However, in Vishnu Dharmottara, Vajra asks Markandeya, what happens at the end of the Manvantara? Markandeya says, O Vajra, the great Lord in the form of water, greatly agitated with countless waves, covers the earth and the lower planets with water. O Yadava, all things on the earth planet are destroyed at that time. Only the famous mountains are not destroyed. O best of kings, at that time, the earth, personified, taking the form of a boat, protects all the seeds without discrimination. O offspring of the Yadu family, 175, 5 through 6 and 9. But here he's saying it's only up through the earth, not up to the heavenly planets. So maybe it's just occasional it goes up there. Or that's the one that's at the day, end of the day of Brahma. So then they just, it appears they change posts, they don't get washed away. And then when the water goes down, they have to bring in new people or something. put out an ad, you know. Last Indra washed away, anyone interested? You know. Okay. So then that means it's up to there, and then the other one goes up to the heavenly planets. This explains that there's a destruction at the end of the Manvantara. In Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami also states that there's a devastation by water after every Manvantara. In his comments on some verses of Harivamsa as well, he says the same. The verse mentions the Chakshusha Manvantara because Satyavrata was a great devotee of Matsya. And Matsya was attracted to his devotee, and Matsya appeared at this time. The following verse illustrates how the Lord is controlled by his devotee. Unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:27-11. Therefore, this particular narration is representative of events that take place after every manvantara. Sardartha Darshani 1:3-15. When there was a flood during the Chakshusha manvantara, the Lord showed his form as a fish. He protected Satyavrata, who became the future Vaivasvata Manu. It is said there is destruction after each manvantara. In the first kanda of Vishnu Dharmotra, when Vajra asked what happened at the end of a manvantara, Markandeya answers, O Vajra, the great Lord, in the form of water, greatly agitated with countless waves, covers the earth and the lower planets. O Yadava, all things on the earth planet are destroyed at that time. Only the famous mountains are not destroyed. O best of kings, means like Gandamandana and these other ones like that, and they remain, because the sages are... Only the famous mountains are not destroyed. O best of kings, at that time the earth personified, taking the form of a boat, protects all the seeds without discrimination. O offspring of the Yadu family, Vishnu Dharmotra, 1:75, 5-6, and 9. This also becomes clear in the commentary on the topic of destruction of manvantaras in Harivamsa. Thus, the flood after Chakshusha manvantara also indicates a flood after Vaivasvata manvantara. So then in between each. But it appears here it's just up to the earth. Like that. Yes, like that. That'll be. But the earth that then may protect all the seeds and can be becomes a boat.
So Bhumandala gets flooded.
Yeah, up to Bhumandala, the whole thing gets flooded. That seems to be what's there. And on earth, then it becomes the boat. Mm-hmm. So she protects like that, all the seeds and all that. And then after the water goes down, then everything is again replenished.
Also, in the Lakshmi Tantra, not in the Lakshmi Tantra, I think it was mentioned in one of the books on Sthapatya Veda about the creation. First from water, before the land comes, first the mountains appear.
Mm.
And around the mountains, the land expands.
Mm.
So basically, in the Manvantara inundation, only the land part is going, mountain remains as it is.
Okay.
Otherwise, then the whole mountain should, become into power, water, and then again.
Okay, because if the land has to come back, then they come from expand from the mountain.
Mm.
That's far out. Okay, yeah, far out. So, basically, interesting tidbits from the future, of course. Sarva Sambhadini. Like Varaha, Matsya appears in Swayambhuva Manvantara and in Chakshusha Manvantara. The two appearances are also described as one. Matsya appeared at the end of the Manvantara, seen by the future Vaivasvata Manu, acted as the shelter for the earth and all the living beings, and taking up the Vedas, which has slipped from my, Brahma's mouth into the water, played in the frightening waters. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:7-12. In his first appearance, he killed a demon and took the Vedas from him. In his second appearance, he gave mercy to Satyavrata. So then it appears that, that these are also different. Riki, the appearance of the Lord in the form of a tortoise who held up on his back Mandara Mountain for the devatas and demons churning the ocean is described next, Anucheda 16. In the 11th appearance, the Lord, in the form of a tortoise, held up on his back Mandara Mountain for the devas and demons churning the ocean, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3-16. The meaning is clear. Sarva Sambhadini. Requested by the devatas, Kurma held up the mountain. This happened in Padmakalpa. In other kalpas, he appeared at the beginning of the kalpa. So appears it.
Before kalpa. Ours is Shvetavara kalpa. The kalpa before our kalpa was Padma kalpa. Previous day of Brahma.
Okay.
The last day of Brahma.
So that means this happened later in the kalpa, in Padma.
I mean, he appears during the churning of the milk ocean. Mm-hmm. That was in that Padma kalpa. Every other kalpa, he is just there from the beginning. He was already there.
Oh.
The beginning of creation.
Okay. But you also have the different stories on, it means in ours, and it was a whole thing. Then he came and he appeared. Mm-hmm. But in the Sringa Purana, it explains that Garuda just carried the mountain and just put it onto Kurma's back. It seems there's different ways it's happening. So it seems to be irregular. So all these pastimes that we hear that happen in different, either in the different yugas or in the different manvantars or things, they're just regular reoccurring things. That's why it says the incarnations are unlimited. Because then he's always appearing in these. And so the ones that are very prominent, you know, something very special. Because if he's doing the same thing every time, basically, but there'll always be change. So something that has a very unique, special kind of thing, then that will be discussed. So, you know, like the highlights. Anucheta 17. Dunbantaram. Oh, he's missing. Vriti. The next Anucheta enlists the avatars. Dhanvantari, who brought the nectar, and Mohini, who distributed the nectar to the demigod. Enlists or lists?
Lists.
Yes. Dhanvantaram, dvadasamam, trayodashamam, evacha, apayavat, suran, anyan, mohinya, mohayan, shriya, or shriya. The Lord took the form of Dhanvantari as the 12th avatar, and taking the 13th form as a woman, Mohini, he let the devatas drink nectar and bewildered the demons. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.17. The Lord took the form, verb understood from the text, of Dhanvantari, the 12th, and Mohini, the 13th. He made the devas drink the nectar, noun understood. He made it so that they could drink. He's not sitting there and forcing them, drink, drink, no, I don't want to live forever. No, drink, like that. No, it wasn't like that. What was his form? He appeared as Mohini, a woman, and bewildered those other than the devatas. He brought the nectar in the form of Dhanvantari. Ajita is a third avatar involved in this pastime. Sarvasambhadam. Dhanvantari appeared from churning of the milk ocean in the 6th Manvantara. He appears in the 7th Manvantara as the son of Kasiraja. Vriti. The Paravasta form of Lord Nrisingadeva, who appeared to protect Prahlad, is enunciated in the next Anucheta. Anucheta 18. Chaturdasam Narasimham Brihad Daityandram Urjitam Dadara Karajer Urav Erakam Kata Krid Yata. Taking the form of Nrisingha as the 14th avatar, he pierced the chest of the strong king of the demons with his nails, just as a woodcutter cuts Erika grass. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.18, Erika. Because in Europe, yeah, that's the name, no? Erika?
Erika.
So it means grass.
Yeah. You know Greece, they know, but... grass, deer, this, that.
Okay. Okay. The Lord took the form of Narasimha. Udriti. Srila Rupa Goswami describes about other vilas forms of Lord Narasimha in Lago Bhagavatamrita. Many vilas forms of Narasimha, such as Lakshmi Nrisimha, with many colors and activities, are mentioned in the Padma Purana and other scriptures. Narasimha appeared in the Chakshusha Manvantara before the churning of the ocean, and the appearance of Kurma in the Chakshusha Manvantara. Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, chapter 3, text 64. Right, that's why we said the order is not necessarily an order, it's just some like that. Lakshmi Nrsimha and others are the vilas forms of this Nrsimha. One should see the Padma Purana and other scriptures for the descriptions. It is said, there are many forms of Nrsimhadeva who perform many activities. They are visible in Jana Loka and the eternal abode of Vaikuntha.
Maharaj, from here, this text I took, these are the vilasa forms, the paravastas are. Many vilasa forms of Nrsimha.
Mm.
Because he mentions on that aspect that they belong to the vilasa category.
But the vilas of the four?
Vilasa forms are...
Or vilas of the...
Vaibhava vilas, Prabhava vilas.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. Is it from that category, Misa, of the Tadyakatma,
yeah.
That aspect, okay.
Yeah.
I think just it means that he has different forms of different moods and they may have different colors or different flavors or things like that.
So basically any other form should come from vilas expansion only. Except for Krishna or Balaram or Vrindavan. Because from the hint here, then I concluded that everything else is vilasa form. Anyway, the Chaturvedi.
Oh, so that's from then. From there comes all the swamps, as you said.
Yeah, that's clear from there. But the Paravastas also are vilasa, they are not from a fire.
Oh, okay. But you do have the thing, I think, where there is an aspect of swayam, because I think there's a lecture, you can check it. On it would be 74 on Ram Navami, okay. Whatever would have been Ram Navami in 74. It was in Bombay,
mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada's talking about how Lord Ramachandra is not different from Krishna. Means he can play the flute, but he doesn't, you know, because he's doing a different pastime.
But so, the vilas expansions also have that aspect, Maharaj. They are.
In the Swayam Rupa category?
No, they are not in the Swayam Rupa category. Tadekatma definition is Vilasa and Swamsha. Vilasa is, they only manifest little different in the, as far as the potences are concerned. Almost similar.
Okay.
But Swamsha are significantly less.
Oh, okay.
So all the Vilasa forms means forms of Lord and Vaikuntha and all, okay. They can all manifest that Narayana form, but they are completely different in the mood as well as their activities from the Swayam.
Okay, but here is saying Lakshmi Singh and others are the Vilas forms of this Nrsimha.
He is the main form, and then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but what I'm meaning is there's a main form of Nrsimha and a main form of Rama that these Vilas forms are expanding from.
They can be maybe in that Prabhava category. Prabhava Vilas, Vaibhava Vilas, then both are there, then they can be in that original category.
Yeah, because there seems to be that there's some aspect of this Paravasta that brings them into a different, kind of, that's what I'm saying, is that they would seem to have that higher aspect, just like in the, okay, that's going to be the same form, okay. Okay, so that because in those forms, this Swayam Rupa is always in the form of Krishna, even if he's in Dwarka.
Because even
he takes a different form if he takes the forearm in Mathura, or like that.
So the first Chaturvyuha is also in Tadekatma.
Okay.
Another place it's mentioned, okay. Maharaj, in this Lagu Bhagavatamrita, they are in the first avarana.
Oh, okay, so then you have the levels of the avaranas, okay. And then, so you have levels of even the Vaibhava will be in these different avaranas.
Yes.
Okay.
Along with the first Chaturvyuha,
mm-hmm.
Then there is Rama, Narasimha, I think Kurma also. Kurma and Varaha.
These
four.
Yeah, they seem very prominent. Okay. When do we get into those?
Towards the end of this book.
Okay.
And Avarana
Varna means that you have, it's kind of like, you have the middle, like this, you have Krishna, and then he circles out from him of expansions and avatars and shaktis and all that, who's in which level and all that. So that it means that that group goes together, then this group goes, and then expanding from that's the next group, and then I think, what, seven groups, no?
Seven
of Varnas. And so then when we get to that, we'll make some other things. So that way, they may be like this, they may be Vaibhav, but they'll be in different Avaranas, so one's closer and one's farther. So that's the thing, is that's why there's a specialist of Nrisinga, because Nrisinga's there, things mentioned Brahma Samhita, he's there in Goloka, but it's in a kind of mystical form that you don't really see him, but he's there. It's mentioned in one of the, either in the verses or in the purport or something like that. It's some far out thing.
I don't remember.
No, okay.
I remember Mahaprabhu's hinted
yeah.
at the end of Brahma
Samhita. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he says he's in Svetadweep. Svetadweep seems to be, you know, an expansion of that whole aspect. So then that you have the those pastimes that are, so then, you know. Is it also that prayer is about Lord Chaitanya and Svetadweep?
Yeah.
Like that. So there's that, it's one corner, because we always have the things, yes, so one, you know, you have Vrindavan, you have Mathura, you have Dwarka, and you have Navadvip. Like that. So there's there. But the thing is, since he's the Channa avatar, then the hidden, then it's not brought out as much as other things. You know. Okay, the appearance of the Lord in the dwarf form as Lord Vamana is described in the next Anucheta, Anucheta 19. Pancha dasham Vamanakam Kritvagad Advaram Bale Padatrayam Yachamana Pratiyadishush No Di Shush Tri Pishtatapam. Taking the form of Vamana as the 15th avatar, the Lord went to the sacrifice of Bali, begging three steps of land, but desiring to steal the heavenly kingdom from him. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3:19. Appearing Kritva as Vamana, he went to Bali's sacrifice. Sarva Sambhavini. In Swayambhuva Manvantara, Vamana, actually maybe in the, okay, went to the sacrifice of Vaskali. He then went to the sacrifice of Dundu. Finally, he went to Bali's sacrifice. Okay, so many sacrifices going on. Three times he took three steps of land.
So they could learn lessons.
Yeah, they didn't have internet. Udviki. Srila Rupa Goswami states the following in this connection. Vamana appears three times in the day of Brahma. The first time during the Swayambhuva Manvantara, he went to the sacrifice of the king of demons called Vaskali. During the Vaivasvata Manvantara, he went to the sacrifice of Dundu. In the seventh yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manu, he was born to Aditi and Kasyapa. The three forms appear in order to give away the land that they had begged. Lagu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 3, text 73. So whenever the demons take over, then he comes to take everything back and give it back to the Brahmins. And that. So, you know. So, in other words, that's the form for taking big steps. Riti, the next Anucheta illustrates the appearance of Parasaram, a Shaktivesh avatar. Anucheta 20. The Lord, appearing as Parasurama, the 16th avatar, became angry on seeing the kings harassing the Brahmins. And 21 times he annihilated the Kshatriyas from the earth. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3:20. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Kshatriyas, or the administrative class of men, are expected to rule the planet by the direction of the intelligent class of men, who give direction to the rulers in terms of the standard shastras, or the books of revealed knowledge. The rulers carry on the administration according to that direction. Whenever there is disobedience on the part of the kshatriyas, or the administrative class, against the orders of the learned and intelligent brahmanas, the administrators are removed by force from the post and arrangements made for better administration. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.20 purport. So again, here is that they're not interested in running the administration. But here's when they give directions, they're not giving details of how to do something. They're telling what the Shastra says, what are the directions, and what are the practical points of application. So, because whenever you're also dealing with a Shastra, there's many ways in which it can be applied. And so these will all be presented, but the Kshatriya himself, he analyzing them, you know, and that then chooses what will be the best course of action and then applies it. Yes?
21 times means 21 generations.
Yes. So because means, generation. In other words, this generation was destroyed. Then their children come up, and when they come up to be kings, then they're killed. And then the next one comes up, they're killed. Yeah, it would be over some hundreds of years. I mean, you know, serious work takes time, you know, like that. And so then he killed them all. And then at the end, then they came to the point when they became, you know, proper sattvic and all. There were no more of these kind of kings left. Then the next generation was born. They were more sattvic, and so then they ruled properly. And then even though it was Treta Yuga, the effect was like it was Satya Yuga. So then you see, it's, you know, it was a good program.
Now, of course, at those times, only the people who come to fight were killed. Not everybody. That's why 21 times.
It means only those on the battlefield. The kids at the palace and that weren't. Those are too young, but then they'll come back around when they come up, and now they're in charge and they have their armies, because then
that's why the envy remains. So it's like 21 generations, then okay, now we cannot do anything. They get
yes, took a while. So that's the one thing, is that sometimes at stake like this, then the Brahmins want to tell them what to do, like you have the, what do you call it, temple council. They just want to say exact details of how it's done, and the president just takes the responsibility and does all the work and the headache. But all the credit goes to the council. But that's not how it works. No, they simply tell what is the proper Krishna consciousness, what's the shastric, what's the principle at work here. The kshatriya, they take it, and then they figure out how it gets done. And they do it, and they have the responsibility. They get the glory. So that's the thing: is when it doesn't work, then neither side works. You know, if Brahmins try to run it without understanding the nature of the Kshatriyas, it won't work. And when Kshatriyas try to run it without understanding the nature of the Brahmins, it won't work. It has to be a combination. As the avatar Parasaram, he rid the earth of the kings. Sarva Sambhadani. Some authorities say he appeared in the 17th cycle in Vaibhasvata Manvantara, and others say he appeared in the 22nd cycle. He is an Avesha form. Next, the appearance of the Lord as Vyasadeva, the compiler of Vedas, is discussed. So it can be, means you have what happened in this Vaibhasvata. But in the last Vaibhasvata, in the previous day of Brahma, he may have appeared in a different, you know, so that's the thing, is it's just depending upon which one that they're going from. So then our acharyas then are mentioning what happened, you know, this time around and everything. But like we see before Sri Yashram, he may be taking some references from the previous day of Brahma or something. So that's why they don't say he's wrong, they just say, no, this is what's happening. Does that make sense? Yeah. Next, the appearance of Lord Vyasa, the compiler of the Vedas, is discussed. Anucheta 21. The Lord, born from Parasara, in the womb of Satyavati, is the 17th avatar. seeing the meager intelligence of the people, divided the tree of the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.21. Meager. That was 5,000 years ago. Sarva Sambhavani.
We discussed it the other day with the students, because we study everything, you know, trying to divide as much as possible.
Mm.
But then the problem is that you have to combine it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sambandha Videya Prayojana.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing in three parts.
Yeah, three features like that. Yeah.
Otherwise it doesn't work. If you look separate, it doesn't give the same effect. So,
yes.
So we were given the example of Vyasadev. He divided Vedas in two parts.
Mm.
But then he realized even that it's not enough. So he divided the two parts again by two parts, then it came four
okay.
parts. And even that, you know, those who study the Veda, it's very, very small nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vivedi Trivedi, it doesn't really mean what it meant before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we get the essence in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so what is it Jiva Goswami says? 6% or something is left. Means because when you say the Veda, it means the whole group. You have the Samhitas, which are the verses.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, the verses are still all there. But all the Brahmanas, all the Aranyakas, all these Upanishads, then you have all the the recessions, the shakas.
Mm.
And those will have their own details and everything, and then one, you know, something will be brought out another. So if you want to know all the knowledge, you have to know, like, some Veda has 1,000 recessions. Some of them have, I think, 20 or 30 or like this. Recession means a branch. Like that. It's a sub-branch. Like that. It means they're all bona fide, but there's a slight difference in how they're approaching it, the grammar they're using, how they're applying it, like this. And so in that, there's going to be some differences in like this. So all that together, of all that, there's only 6% left.
4%.
Okay. So we lost 2%.
In a discussion.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on before we lose
more. Before we lose everything.
Yeah.
And then we wake up with nothing. So Madhu and Kaitaba, you know, they took it all.
That was Jiva Goswami's tank.
Oh. Okay. I said 6, then it's 4, but that was Jiva Goswami's own 500 years. And yeah, okay. It's like Madhvacharya. He quotes so many scriptures that now aren't available. You know, so
So whatever we quote will not be
available.
Or will be rendered by, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why then if you have Bhagavatam, you know, then you're good. So that's the thing. It's what Prabhupada given, the Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar, Devotion. Everything's in those books, and then if we have more of the Acharya's works and all that, it's good. So even if you lose everything else, but you have the Acharya's works, you're still fine.
Yeah. Now, Indrajumna Maharaj takes a service in Vrindavan Institute, so they will definitely preserve whatever is there.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well,
there are 2%.
Yeah. If we get a verse later, and then the great sage Indradumna saved the 2%.
Actually, Madhvacharya's brother, Govindra, Madhvacharya instructed him when some 10,000 years later we'll come and reveal all those knowledge back when people are qualified.
Huh? Well, after 10,000 years.
Something like that. It was some 10,000, 15,000 years.
Okay. Just now coming. So, Sarva Sambhadini. Some say Vyasa is an Amsa form, since in some scriptures it is said he was previously Apan Taratmana. Others say it's directly an umsa of the Lord. And Apan Taratmana merged into him. As a general rule, he's always an avesha. But in this, whenever Swayam Krishna comes, then the Vyasas is Vishnu Tattva. Yeah. And like this. So it means, in other words, the Kali Yuga, the golden avatars, also that Krishna, like this. So in this time around, they're all like that. So then, whoever it is, this Apan Taratmana, then he merged into it. Just like when Krishna comes, then all the avatars are Krishna. Like that. So the same kind of way. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.